Is there meaning in a measurement? Two great masters of midrashically styled Torah commentary, both writing in 14th century Spain, will offer two very different interpretations of a particular form of measurement that appears frequently in this week's Torah reading, the half. In Parshat Vayakhel, as we witness Bezalel begin to build from the blueprint that Moshe received, we read through all of the measurements of the Mishkan for the second time. Curtain lengths, plank lengths, how many sockets, how many hooks. One's eyes could be forgiven for starting to glaze over as all the details pass by. But when we come to the ark, a unique feature of its dimensions may catch our attention. Vayas Bezalel et Aaron atzei shitim, amatayim v'chetzi arko, v'ama v'chetzi rechvo, v'ama v'chetzi komato. Bezalel made the ark out of acacia wood 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits tall. The measurements of the ark, first given in Exodus 25, all contain half units. That's not so for any other item in the Mishkan, or any other cubit measured thing in the Torah. If the measurements of the central and holiest object in the Mishkan are distinct from all the others in this way, there must be some significance to the deviation. The Bala Turim finds that significance in the fractured nature of the half unit, and describes it with an almost tragic language. Kol midotav hayu shvurot. All of the ark's measurements were broken into half cubits to teach that one who learns Torah must break and lower themselves. Tzarich leshaver ulashpil atzmo. The half measurements of the ark, he says, are broken, shvurot, that is, broken off from a full measure, in order to send a message to all who approach the Torah within the ark that we too must be halved in order to acquire it. Our egos must be diminished. The lowered measurement before us reminds us to humble ourselves. More than that, though, and he repeats this language for emphasis, we must break ourselves. We are imperfect containers for Torah, and so we have to break ourselves open, to smash our routines, assumptions, distractions, to essentially restructure our insides in order to make space for Torah. The ark's half measurements, in this rendering, become symbols testifying to the need for self-denial, and perhaps even a measure of self-affliction in the pursuit of Torah. The sides of the ark, however, are not the only notable half measurements we read about this week. On the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Adar, we add a reading known as Parshat Shkalim, which outlines the contribution that every fighting age Israelite would donate to the service of the Mishkan, and eventually the temple, to maintain its upkeep. They would all donate the same amount so that everyone was equally represented. And what was the amount that they all gave? Ze yitnu kol ha'over al ha'pkudim, machazit ha'shekel, v'shekel ha'kodesh, esrim gerah ha'shekel, machazit ha'shekel, truma la'shem. This is what everyone who has entered in the records shall pay, a half shekel by the sanctuary weight, 20 gerahs to the shekel, a half shekel as a donation to the Eternal. Everyone who's entered in the records from the age of 20 years up shall give the Eternal's donation. The rich shall pay no more and the poor shall pay no less than a half shekel when giving this donation to the Eternal to atone for you. These three verses keep emphasizing the donation, truma, of the half shekel, machzit ha-shekel, by mentioning them each three times. This is no side detail. This is the designated amount that will come to represent a willingness to sacrifice to God. So, why is it a half shekel? No, make it a shekel. It's true that the contribution had to be affordable, but then it could have been lower. Again, the half here was clearly chosen deliberately, so what does it mean? Shall we import the symbolism of the Bala Turim that halves represent brokenness? Are we to summon here, too, a sense of our own brokenness before God? That last verse does speak of atonement. That's a fair opening for another severe reading. But about 200 miles northeast, another of the great darshanim of the period, Rabbeinu Bachya, gives a very different interpretation of this half measurement. Instead of focusing on the incompleteness of the half, he reminds us that every half implies another half that together make a whole. Aval balirmoz, the half shekel comes to hint that every intelligent person should weigh their actions out evenly and should agree to give both the body and the soul, each one of them, its own due attention in order to come to a complete measure. It's good and proper to use one's body in the service of God and to let the soul lead, for that is the essential thing. Sometimes, however, one needs to pay attention also to one's physical needs, such as eating and drinking and clothing, and it's impossible to survive without them. As our sages say about the holidays, the Torah says in one place, Atzeret la'Hashem Elokecha, a festival for the Eternal, your God, and in another place, Atzeret tieh lechem, a festival it will be for you. So Rabbi Yehoshua said, Chetzio la'Hashem v'chetzio lachem, half of it for God and half of it for you. Now, here is a very different message than the one we got from the Baal HaTurim, in both content and tone. The half measurement here is not a reminder to diminish ourselves, but to attend to ourselves. Rabbeinu Bachya sees in the half shekel an acknowledgement of our divided nature. We are made up of body and soul, physical matter and spirit, each of which has its own needs. Which of those forces should we attend to? The answer is both. The soul cannot perform its work without the body, after all. Be that as it may, it sounds at first as if Rabbeinu Bachya will make a more modest claim, a sort of concession. He's willing to grant the body only as much care as it needs to serve the soul in its service of God, for that is the essential thing. We may need to eat and drink to survive, but beyond that, it's clear that our physical desires should take a back seat, and most of our attention should be focused on spiritual matters. But the Talmud that Rabbeinu Bachya quotes at the end pushes the claim to a bolder place. The Torah speaks in one place about a festival for God and in another place about a festival for you, so we see our celebration should include both physical pleasures of eating and drinking as well as the divine service of Torah study. Half of it for God and half of it for you. The blunt formulation of Rabbi Yehoshua's summarizing phrase points beyond just celebrations to a way of looking at all of life as a delicate but healthy balance between self-nurturing and devotional service, inward-looking and outward-looking. These two readings of the half-measurement seem to be preaching two very different philosophies of living. The Baal HaTurim calls on us to break ourselves to make room for Torah, whereas Rabbeinu Bachya seems to allow us to spend half of our time indulging the soft animal of the body. But perhaps those positions are not actually incompatible. Perhaps we must learn to do both at different times. In the pursuit of Torah, the worship of God, or acts of service to others, we must push ourselves. We must be ready to sacrifice, to live on less and to give more. To do any of that, we must learn to break ourselves of our selfish and self-centered impulses. That requires great, relentless effort. But there is another half of our lives that is meant to be lived in a conscious and embodied experience of the self, one that is both physical, full of bodily appetites and sensory pleasures, as well as cognitive, aware of feelings and ideas, opinions and preferences. To maintain the health of our bodies and minds, we must care for ourselves, nourish ourselves, even love ourselves. Half of it for God, and half of it for you. Maintaining that balance is not an easy task, but we try our best to meet God somewhere in the middle.